out. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Hear Me Out. My name's RJ.
My name's Blay, and this is the podcast where two selfish best friends, RJ and myself, try to become better friends by trying to convince the other person to take up a new passion, hobby, or like. Why, by the way, you know what? I say this intro every week. Why are we trying to become better friends?
I don't know.
If we don't like it. You know what? I think the conceit is collapsing under our hatred for each other. But every week we have a new issue, a new passion. We bring in a new expert guest. And the loser today, RJ or myself, will donate to a charity. RJ, what is the charity and what is the issue we are discussing on this fine day?
All right. So today's charity is Broadway Cares. They provide life-saving medication and healthcare, meals, counseling, and emergency assistance to those living with HIV and AIDS and other life-threatening issues. If you guys want to donate, you can go to BroadwayCares.org. And that transitions perfectly into today's topic, which is, I would maybe argue, my hardest task. I brought in a big gun today to help us, yeah. But I'm concerned that thinking it's like a 30% chance that I convince you.
Oh
today.
My God.
I don't think it's going to be, but it is. I'm going to try to convince you. Let's just say that we should go to a musical. I love musicals. Musicals are great.
Boy.
I mean, I want to say we should be in a musical or make a musical. That's like the top of where we're going today.
God.
That's where I would love to go.
Oh my God.
But if I can get out of here with just, I'll go see a musical with you.
Oh,
we'll go to a Broadway show. Then I call it a win.
You know what? Let me just say, I appreciate your, attempt. I appreciate, you know what? This to me is like seeing someone grab a surfboard and run out into one of those giant waves, like
the big
19
wave
story waves, and not knowing how to surf. So this is going to be quite the episode.
As the wave comes up, you can see like the silhouettes of the sharks in it and stuff. Yeah,
it's full
totally
of razor
fucked.
Blades. It's a wave of just, death. All right, well, who is your big gun today? I'm very excited.
All right, so this is a returning guest. You could even call him a friend of the pod.
You could.
That's Ethan Edinburgh. What's up, man?
Yeah.
I am here. I'm happy to be here. Huge gun. I really want to emphasize that.
Gun.
And guns. And guns.
Huge guns. Been working out. I'm a tank. So you also have to worry about fighting me, Blay, in person. Because I will fuck you up,
right,
dude.
Yeah.
I will say, I think you only work out one of your arms because your right arm is like Schwarzenegger and your left is like a little T-Rex.
I think the camera is a little foggy or something.
Okay. That's, maybe it's just.
Because they're both equally fucking jacked.
His left arm's just really far away.
I'm turned to the side, dude.
I'm turned to the side.
Yeah, listen, climb on my back. First of all, I can carry your weight, RJ, and let's destroy this steep mountain because I think it's an easy task. I think we can totally get Blay to a musical. It's only 2 hours or 3 hours of his time. And also, I think knowing what I know about you, Blay, you'd be excited to write and see a musical that you partook in, that you had some effect on, that you created with us.
I love it.
Well, listen, here's the thing. I will say, Ethan, you are a man of many talents.
Oh,
and immense musical talent. The Cooties, incredible.
Yeah.
And by the way, can I just say this? One of my favorite things, my biggest thrills, which happened to me recently, is a bunch of my friends on Instagram who don't know you posted about their love of the Cooties.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, like, that is so cool to me when my friends discover my other friends' talents. And, I mean, that's just, it's awesome. It's my favorite thing. So, man, the Cooties, you guys, if you're listening, please check them out. And you also said, can we say this about your new project?
Sure.
Tell us about your new project, which sounds awesome.
I'm going to be making, some music videos and stuff for Keep It Out. I have one song out as Panchi, P-A-N-C-H-I. But basically, it's like Daft Punk music, which I've always kind of just been making since I was a kid. Like, I love synths and drum machines and stuff. So, normally I would just be making like crazy beats for no one, for me. take edibles and just get into a weird
dance beat. You're just beating off by yourself, basically.
Thank you. That's how we music heads put it.
You're a master of beats. You're a master masturbating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man.
No, perfect. But I will say I love, like, and it's so weird because, like, I'm kind of a newcomer to electronic music, and I got into it through Daft Punk and
sick.
Through their, have you heard their Alive album?
That's the best album in my opinion.
It's insane.
The best.
And it's so good. And if people who haven't heard it, it's just Daft Punk did this incredible concert, I think, in 2007.
Correct.
They kind of mash up everything. It's faster.
Yep. You hear the crowd. They mic the crowd really well. So it's like.
And dude, that was the album. So, you know, I lost like 90 pounds. That was one of the very few albums that, like, I'm making puddles. I'm dying. Dude. I need to go another like 5 minutes. And that
it is
I put
such
that
a
on.
Good workout album.
Yep.
Oh yeah. God. You guys are speaky my lingy over it's here 1,000%. When I don't know what to listen to, which happens a lot during a workout or something, that's the go-to move.
Yeah.
Of course. But yeah, I'm basically doing that, but with jokes. I'm trying to write jokes and then put them into like dance albums and have other people that don't normally do comedy, like just great artists, songwriters, singers, feature on all my tracks. So I'm like, I'm singing like half these songs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
dude, so good.
That's
amazing. And yeah. we talked for a second about this before we started recording, but you know, we've all seen Bo Burnham's Inside, which is this Netflix special, just kind of came out in like the last month or two.
Yeah, masterpiece.
I think even just the last couple of weeks. And it really, I think, it sets the gold standard for not just like comedy and music, but something else, something. And it's almost like a musical, wouldn't you say?
Oh, totally. And I think if you like that, we're already on the train to Victory Town.
Oh, just wait.
I think we have, we're winning already, but yeah, totally a musical. I mean, to me, if we're defining a musical, for me, a musical is anything that has songs in it, you know, periodically, like, yeah, sure. You know, it doesn't need to be, you know, sung plot or sung dialogue or whatever. Like if it has songs every 10 minutes, that's a musical. So you already admitted that you love a musical. So that's number one.
Well,
which is sick.
But I think I will say, like, and here's kind of, and this is kind of why I bring it up, because I think that, you know, when people think of musicals, like, for instance, I think of like Kiss Me, Kate, a revival or something, you know, like those, like you said, like sung dialogue.
Oklahoma.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Oklahoma. Perfect example. Right? But to you, what is it as a creator and a musician and also a comedian and a storyteller? What is your approach in terms of if you like writing a musical, writing music that needs to go somewhere other than just being its own separate little diamond or gem? What is that approach to kind of putting together a larger span of something that can overall mean something?
And before you answer just want to tell people that you're the Cooties, especially, and I'm sure all your new stuff that's coming out is catchy, good music too. You know, when some people think of comedy music, it's not always like the best. Like, I mean, Weird Al is one of the most fun people ever. Like, but to me in my head, he's still more of a comedian. You know,
it's not really.
Whereas like the Cooties, You're All Song that just came out, My Calling, I think is what it's called. Sure. Is like, dude, that's my song in the summer. That's my jam. It is so fun and so good. And it's also hilarious. So yeah, that's a great question. What is kind of your approach to that?
And also, if I could just interject quickly, like, what's your approach? But also, what do you see is the difference between an album and a musical? Because a concept album is different than a musical.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think the only difference is the medium, right? I mean, audio, album, musical, themed, whatever. But then if you bring it to any sort of visual sphere, we're talking musical, I think. I'm no expert, so I also want to, you know, you guys are being very kind and nice and I appreciate these things, but I don't want to appear to be like I'm the guy here. For me, I think it's, I don't want a song, if it's a funny song, to be about like one thing, like one, like, how do I say this? Like a lot of songs that we get kind of bored, I guess. Maybe that's what it is. Is like, you know, you have to hit the same topic from different angles. You have to go to a place people are not expecting. There needs to be a turn. You know, it's a moving thing. Whereas I think some people get stuck in like, oh, it's just funny because we're singing about it. So it doesn't need to have a story or jokes or, you know, whatever. And it's like that for me is a cardinal sin. That is not cool. It's not funny because there's music. That helps for sure. If there's a great tune. I mean, like, you know, we were saying before, it's like the more legit it is, the more professional it is, the more intricate the music parts and stuff, instrumentation, stuff like that, probably the funnier the jokes are going to be. But you need to be able to just read these lyrics down and feel like, oh, this is just funny in and of itself.
Yeah, I think one thing that you guys do well is the, and I think what makes a good song that's also funny, and this could be in a musical or it could be the Cooties or whatever, is they, you know, when it's written, there are small micro jokes that are the lines, but right. also the whole song is structured like a macro joke. Like if you listen to it all the way through, it's like, oh, that I didn't see that coming or whatever. And right. to your point, what you were just saying, when the music's also good, that's just another layer of like, whoa, I wasn't expecting this to be hilarious, you know, because right. it just sounds so good to begin with.
Yeah. And yeah, if the whole thing, oh, sorry. The other thing is I wanted to say is like, is if the thing we're talking about the whole time is somewhat dumb or mundane, that's ideal. That's what yeah. we're always trying to go for. Sometimes yeah. we'll write songs where we're like, this is actually too much of a real thing. This is like an issue. Yeah. And we can't go here. We need to, what's the stupid part of
why?
That?
Yeah. No, why is that? Why?
Because I think it's not that you are building on some, like, okay, Bo Burnham does his thing, like you were saying, and he's a fucking genius, in my opinion. So the guy's like super brilliant. So he can actively make a song about the internet and how terrible it is and how wonderful it is. And he can give you the real deal. And Cooties, for us at least, it's like, no, we're going straight dumb schmuckness, like, you know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was going to disagree with you and say, I do think he's a genius, obviously. But if to me, it's more about what RJ was saying, which is like the Weird Al. Weird Al, also a genius, just a different... Yes. A different place on the spectrum mm-hmm. that he occupies a different place than Bo Burnham does. And the Cooties occupy a different place as well. I think if you wanted to, you clearly have the ability
right.
to deal with any topic you want to, serious or not in any way. But, you know, I would say it's from the outside, it doesn't seem to me like it's based on talent. I think it's a choice.
Got you. Okay, I hear that.
Wouldn't you agree? Because it's like, Bo Burnham is amazing. He's not doing anything you can't do. Other than making the choice, I want to talk about this in this way.
I can't touch that. I love the dude. I think...
Won't take the compliment.
Won't take it. Totally appreciate hearing that. But I feel like, yeah, we focus on the silly, and that's what works for us, is like, yeah. we can make silly songs and take them way too seriously, and yeah. that's what... makes it work, I think, makes us laugh.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, like, and Flight of the, you play off Flight of the Conchords, who were amazing. Like, yeah. think about a song like Business Time.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Like, you know, it's been like the dumbest.
So good. Yeah.
Also, the catchiest.
Yeah.
Like, right. Well, that's RJ's point. Is like, you could just switch up, you know, which is why it's also funny, right? It's because they're kind of yeah. saying like typical things you would hear in a pop song. And they're, yeah. and even the way they're singing is like, yeah, girl, what's going on? Come here. But like, all the lyrics are so, if you just read that, you're like, what a fucking idiot wrote this. Yeah. So, I hear that as well. It's poking fun at music. I mean, essentially, that's really what we're doing. Right. We're musicians that love to make music and yeah. are just trying to say, like, look how stupid this is that we take so much time when there's so many more important things to be doing. And we're talking about, you know, a heavy door at a coffee shop, and we're like combining that with rhythm and key changes and all this stuff. It's like, how dumb can you be?
Yeah, but Art, you know, and RJ, you and I talk about this a lot in terms of comedy and visual comedy,
right?
Like how we appreciate, like I would say, like the parallel to visual comedy. And RJ, tell me what you think about this, but similar thing of like, you know, a show like I Think You Should Leave or something, mm-hmm. or yeah. a show that takes a extremely dumb thing, yeah. mm-hmm. but then shoots it like a movie. Yeah, you know, yeah, you're yeah. like,
right. Exactly.
All the things, but you know, great cinematography, yeah. great lighting, but it's about a guy who shit his pants.
Yeah, right? Or like, who can't okay. open the door to get out of a cafe. It's like,
the paint job in the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. I always think my favorite comedy, and this is why I like so many of these musical elements, is the silliest thing in the world shot and taken so seriously to produce. Yes. That is
and to go even further from me, because I sound like a moron when I'm talking about my own work, and I want to apologize to everyone for everything that I've said. The Wrong Guy comes to mind, and I know it's not a musical, and let's get back to musicals instantly.
Let's but not.
Do you know about that movie, The Wrong Guy? That
no.
Oh man, one of the guys from Kids in the Hall, Dave Foley. The whole premise of the movie is that he thinks that he's a fugitive wanted for murder, but he's not. They're looking for another dude. But it's shot like The Fugitive, you know? It's awesome. Like he's on the run.
That's great.
So anyway, yeah, that for me.
I see that, though.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. It's so, so good.
I love it.
Awesome.
So this is perfect. This is a perfect segue because, when we come back, Ethan and I are going to convince Blay that we should go see a musical or maybe even make our own.
Boy.
We'll be right back.
Vengan todos a la venta para amigos y familiares de JCPenney hasta el domingo. Usa el cupón de 30% extra en la tienda y llena tu carrito con estilo y ahorros. Y obtén hasta 60% de descuento en joyería fina y de moda. Además, ahorra hasta 40% en ropa elegante para toda la familia. Compren juntos y luzcan de lo mejor este otoño. JCPenney, vale la pena. Selección de estilos, aplican exclusiones. Cupón y oferta de ropa válidos hasta el 8 de octubre. Oferta de joyería válida hasta el 22 de octubre. Detalles en la tienda jcp.com.
And we're back. So we are here with the great Ethan Edinburgh from The Cooties. It's Edinburgh, not Edinburgh, right?
You can say it either way, buddy boy. Happy to be here.
Potato, potato. What about if I call you Ethan? Ethan Edinburgh.
Call me whatever you want, my dude. Make up your own nickname.
From The Cooties. And of course, the podcast, The Good, The Bad, and The Science.
Sure.
And we're talking musicals. Now, here's the thing. Here's a little bit about old Blay.
Here we go.
I was in, for most of my life, choir. I was in a performing troupe called Shabop Shop.
Like a church choir?
What?
Like a church choir?
School
all
choir?
Kinds, baby.
Oh, all kinds. And by the way, Shabop also sounds like a singing group.
Shabop Shop is a singing and dancing group.
Okay.
Bow ties, cummerbunds.
Holy shit.
Quick sidebar. I was dancing with this girl named Bren Deckert. She was my dance partner. And at one point, big auditorium, let's say 2,000 people.
Oh my God.
High school.
Oh.
I'm a sophomore.
That's big time.
And we do this thing where we come up to the front and I go down on one knee and she sits on my knee.
Uh-oh.
And my pants split in the crotch. Straight open.
Yes.
Straight open in the crotch.
Love that.
Horrified on the
face.
It was like Gallagher, only shame was sprinkled
sprayed
over
them
the
with
front
shame.
Three rows. Yeah, it was terrible. So I've done that. I in college, I worked on a college sitcom called The Show, and we did a musical episode. I wrote all of those songs, save one, and recorded many of them. I played in bands my entire life. I've been in musicals, Tom Sawyer,
dude,
ABC.
It sounds like you're on
this
our
is,
side.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well,
something must have happened.
I am a veteran of many wars. Let me just say that. I've been in the trenches. I've been to the war. I've fought. I've killed.
Thank you for your service.
Killed.
Yeah.
And that is why I do not like musicals. I absolutely despise musicals. And RJ, you were not kidding. Not to put the stakes too high, but you were not kidding when you said this episode might be your most difficult yet.
I think it is.
With that.
Wow.
Prologue, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These arguments.
This is going to just be a long burn. I think a burn more of. I don't think it's going to be like one thing that gets you right away because you clearly
have some
experience. So I'm just going to start with a broad stroke here that when done well, again, we're talking when done well. We're not talking about shitty improv group musical thing that's happening. We're talking
half-assed.
Great.
No, not half-assed.
Talking Broadway. You're talking
Broadway,
the Great White
baby.
Way, baby. Tony.
Well, I mean, who the fuck are you talking to, Blay? We go hard.
Yes.
If we're making a musical.
Fucking hard.
Or we're
going hard.
Or if we go
so hard, the A has been crushed down to an O.
Yeah.
You go hard.
We crush that lowercase A into an O, and we go hard whether we're going to see something or making something. You're talking to RJ and I.
That's right. So my first point. It is an escape from what you normally see. My example is, and it's kind of what we've already been talking about.
I hope we're starting slow. This is a
this
bad
is
argument.
So slow. No, but this I'm is very already confident. What we've been talking about.
I'm locked.
When
loaded.
You go to a play, it's usually way overly dramatic, kind of annoyingly dramatic. No one really likes it. When you go to a movie, way too dramatic, too much action scene, too many explosions. Like, we get it. We've seen it. Who gives a shit?
Wait, so what are we making?
Yeah. So what is that?
What is this?
So when you bring in, when it gets all like sappy, or when something happens and it's like, oh, what the fuck? I've already seen this a million times. And then all of a sudden you hear the birds chirping and you hear the music starting down in the pit, and whoever it is starts singing a tune.
Yeah, it's like,
you're like,
what's going on
okay,
here?
We're in a different land. We've been transported somewhere new.
I like that you're pitching Blay on music.
You're either
pro or anti.
Listen, I'm going in as hard as I can. Dude.
Listen, hold on. Can I take a stab?
Yeah, no, please. Take as many as you can.
Let me just say, right now, I am so angry, my head is hot.
I got a tank full of missiles here, and they are raring to go. All right. To me, what I'm hearing from Blaze Prologue is that you've spent your life enjoying music, and then every now and then running into the shame of your pants ripping open, yes, or somebody getting dramatic and yelling at you. We're not here for that. We don't have time for that shit. Okay. We're men. We are adults. We are not here to, you know, argue at each other or yell about something. We're here to
sing dialogue at each other.
We're here to sing dialogue. We're here to have fun. We're here to rehearse. And then you know what? Break for lunch. Everybody has a good time. Oh, somebody smokes a J.
I do like lunch.
Somebody gets a beer. We watch the playoffs.
Third favorite meal.
We come back 2 days later. And listen, by the way, we at this point respect you so much that if we were going to make a musical together, you're not going to have any of that crap. If you don't want to do something, you tell somebody. We make sure that it's out of your hair.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't want to do a musical. How about that?
No, we're doing a musical, and it can be about, and it's about something you love. Listen, what would you want to go see if you were to go see a musical? What would you want it to be about? Are we talking
hummus.
Space? Okay, I love hummus. Hold on a second.
I love hummus too. It's delicious.
Hummus is delicious.
Goes with everything and is underrated.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you.
And what does it rhyme with? Nothing.
Tuchus.
Tuchus, that's right.
So listen, it's the guys who, you know, originally made hummus. We don't know their true story is actually really, it's
tragic.
Mixed up in this rebellion. And it's like a really courageous, cool story. And we're uncovering it. And you're going to help us with some characters. And you're going to help us write jokes. And then we're going to come to you once a week and bring you these fucking awesome songs, like songs that you've never heard before. And you're like, oh, my God. My character, my jokes are now these great songs. I can't wait to show
Instead
this around.
Instead of Les Miserables, it's Les Hummerables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the songs would be so good that it wouldn't even make sense. Like, at first, it wouldn't even make sense that it's going into this tragic, insane tale of these hummus guys.
We would trick your ass so bad, dude. We would start playing a song from a boombox, and you'd be like, God, wait, what is this song? Can you tell me the name of this band? Because
I
love
it. I've heard that somewhere.
Yeah, I love this shit. Can I pay for this or what? Yeah. And we go, no, you're getting paid for this. That's
right.
Your song, dude.
That's right. Broadway is paying you.
Yeah.
What do you think about, like, I haven't seen it or even heard the music, but like, Hamilton was a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And partly because they took they took something fairly serious, the life of Alexander Hamilton and stuff, and then put it to a different kind of music and kind of portrayed the story, somewhat tragic, in a certain way. What now, you know, again, like what makes a musical different than a concert? Like, what is the difference there? Because you see Hamilton, and people listen to the music. Yeah. My sister has never seen Hamilton, loves the album.
I would say it's similar to a concert, for sure.
Not the same.
No,
not the same.
I would say it's more of an emotional experience and more of a story. It's like a mix between a concert and a movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah, or a concert and a play. To me, there has to be at least one set involved. Whereas a concert could just be out you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, trippy okay. set. Graphics.
Some of my favorite sets are in musicals. My favorite sets.
You know how I love sets, and I'm always talking love about
some,
sets.
And you know what?
I know that I love sets.
Some, dude, some sets there's... are totally wasted on parking lots, and they're just there.
That's
and
right.
You're like, okay, you're this like, is a cool set, but
fuck? Yeah, the best set I've ever seen isn't the best musical ever, but Jersey Boys. Y'all ever seen it?
No,
never what? Seen it.
Oh, you got to go see it. It's great.
I would no, love
you
to.
Know all the music because it's, you know, no, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. You know oh.
okay.
the songs.
Can I make another? This brings up a good point, I think, which is another hopefully, you know, convincing argument here for, mm-hmm. for you, Blay. Musicals are a very difficult thing to achieve. It's
yes.
an okay. intricate balance. It's a difficult mm. challenge, right? Because you're on the verge of corny, cheesy town.
Yep.
The entire time. You
yes.
could slip at any moment and fall and down Cheese Mountain and end up in a big vat of nacho cheese.
That's right.
Which is normally what happens, I feel like.
Which is but why I'm saying
not
if
the
you
best
can,
ones, though.
If you can
you
walk that
play.
Balance beam,
yes,
that's incredible. That feat is enormous.
You
and
could
in
it.
And of itself, that makes it cool.
Yep, that's perfect into my second point. That is the perfect setup, which is it inspires your and challenges your creativity because
Bam.
It is just so difficult to achieve. Just like
Dunk.
When you're writing comedy, you don't want it to sound like, you know, annoying or stupid or like
anybody can make that. Fart sounds, caca
yes.
jokes, fall over on a grandpa and everybody laughs. And that's cool.
Yep.
But guess what? If you can do what you guys have been doing forever at Conan or what, you know, Nathan Fielder does or something, that's a more difficult ask. That's a very tough challenge. And in and of itself, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but here, okay, here's a question. Why musicals? Like, why can't we just have a great play?
Because there's a million
Why can't
plays.
We?
Okay, but wait a minute. Also, why not musicals? What are we talking about? It's music.
Well, I'm just saying, for exactly the thing you're talking about. Like, because I see musicals as, even the best musicals, as cheesy. I don't know that there is a musical I could see that wouldn't, to me, be cringy, sung dialogue or not. I just, because here's
zero. You haven't enjoyed any musicals in the past, whatever, 5-10 years? Zero?
No, I mean,
movies or otherwise?
Well, I'll say, like, I and that's kind of why I was asking about the difference between a concert and a musical. Because, like,
that's
I've
different.
Seen Tenacious D. They're awesome. You know, Flight of the Conchords. Awesome.
What about Tenacious Great. D movie?
Tenacious D movie? I don't think I saw it.
It's
they
pretty.
Make a movie?
It is.
Oh, The Pick of Destiny.
Pick of Destiny.
Yeah, I never saw
Destiny.
It. I never saw it.
It's pretty cool. Musical.
Okay.
What about Coco?
Okay. But I didn't see Coco.
Coco's good.
God, Coco's good.
We'll see. But
Moana.
I've seen a part of Moana because my niece loves it, but I'm not three, so I don't like it. I think that. The thing is, I think that one of the big problems I have with musicals is, and I don't know the best way to say this, but I think
okay, I've been talking like a moron for 40 minutes, so it's all good.
No, it's not true. But I think, so when, okay, when we talk about loving any form of art that tells a story,
okay,
be it book, be it movie, be it play, there is a certain suspension of disbelief that needs to happen, you know? And I'm not saying anything that the three of us don't know, but, you know, let's take a movie, Hereditary, right?
Love it.
For me, right, now see, I didn't like Hereditary.
Interesting.
And the reason why at the base concrete floor of why you liked it and I didn't is I had problems with it that stop me from suspending my disbelief to buy the story.
Got it.
Certain things in that movie, which are valid and also not valid,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's an opinion, you know, because all art is subjective. Mm-hmm. But again, I couldn't get into it because I was like, well, what all these who lit all these? Did the demon light all these candles? What?
She's
coming downstairs. Like, who turned on the lights just so? You know, she makes miniatures. Like, how convenient. So I had a problem. I had a real problem suspending my disbelief. And I think that cuts to the core of why I don't like musicals. I don't know that I can ever suspend my disbelief
mm-hmm.
in to the point where someone breaking out into song, whether it's dialogue or just a song, would ever not pull me out of the story. Every time, when you said the thing, and this is what I'll finish with, sorry, RJ.
No, no,
but
no.
When you said, good, even RJ, earlier when you were saying, and then all of a sudden, hey, I got to go to the grocery store.
No.
I can't do it. I just fucking am like, what?
Well, that,
I need to go to the grocery store. I'm never going to be like, a song is going to start. So that's kind of my biggest thing.
But what is that? I mean, that's fair. That's totally fair. But when it's done right, I would argue you could, there are musicals where it seamlessly kind of goes in. It doesn't always have to be.
Like what?
Here's my deal with this, guys. I think that's a you problem, Blaine. Here's my thing, man.
No, it is a me problem.
Because there's certain movies, obviously, certain movies don't do it well, whether it's sci-fi, whether it's whatever, right? But if a movie is doing it well, and maybe this is, once again, because of my lack of intelligence, that I'm able to just dive in and believe some crazy shit.
I won't take this negative talk.
Crazy shit that somebody tells me in a movie, I go, okay.
But you know what? Stuff. Yeah. Like, listen, I will meet you on your side of the court and say, when it comes to jokes, there are jokes that if you don't accept the setup, the punchline doesn't matter to you. You're like, oh, that's not a thing.
Right.
So it's not going to be funny. So in that way, you're not suspending.
That's what I'm saying. You have to kind of go with the rule. Now, if the movie breaks its own rules, or if the musical breaks its own rules or whatever.
Don't even get me started.
Then I'm with you. Then it's like, we got a problem because I'm following you and you're leading me down dark paths. But if you're consistent, if the music just comes in and out in the same way, or, you know, always makes sense. I mean, listen, did you like La La Land? Did you see that?
I saw La La Land.
Okay. And they were making a point of saying, not only do you need to suspend your disbelief, but you better, because we're taking it times 1,000.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
What?
You got to be in it for, you know, you got to sign up. You got to say, oh, you know what? I'm going to follow you because this is all an enjoyable experience. It's art. And I want to see what you're trying to tell me. What should I get out of this?
Here's a probably horrible argument that I'm going to dive into anyway. If let's say.
Awesome. Think us.
Hey,
bear trap.
Holes in this boat.
No, just to continue on this challenging and inspiring thing. I'm going tonight to see Fast 9. Right.
Yeah. Instead of coming to my show, which
Fast and Furious. Right. Well, I got your tickets are more expensive.
It's outrageously expensive.
I'm going to see a movie that plays 20 times a day instead of seeing your performance.
Could definitely watch it on a plane.
For the fifth time, not going to see your show. No.
I could see it on a plane forever. Or I could
No, I'm going to see Fast 9 tonight. It's insane. It's like the definition of you can't suspend your disbelief. The Rock's going to go into space with cars, I assume. I don't know. They're talking about dinosaurs being added in. But what I'm going to say is, if down the street at a theater at the Largo, say, where we've been the last few days, if at the Largo the Cooties or somebody really like that you believed could do a good job at making fun of Fast and Furious said, we're putting on a Fast and Furious musical and it's going to be fucking hilarious. I guarantee you would go and I think it would be great. And maybe that's what we should all write is that.
And musical. You might get, well, that's already been written actually by Brett knows. Brad Solnitzer, they do a Fast and Furious musical. And
amazing.
Maybe Blaine would have a better time seeing that. Like,
amazing.
That's a good way to test it too.
I would
venture to say he would.
I think if we all went, drank some beers, and went to that. He would have a great time.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? I will say, you do bring up a good point that if a musical if it leans into the fact that I'm not going to suspend my disbelief, then you know what? I would have less of a hard time with it. The thing is, I think, and it's your La La Land argument really was interesting because, like, for instance, like La La Land. It's fine. The last scene I loved. Mm-hmm. I love that last scene. And there's a scene in it right before that last scene that I loved, which is, I mean, this is spoilers, but whatever.
There's
this moment where kind of they relive very quickly the lifespan of their relationship if they had both made different choices.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is cool. And to kind of be like, oh, here, the road not taken. Let's explore that in a very quick musical montage.
Yeah.
And it was really well done. And I am such a sucker for, as both you guys know, that kind of thing. Like the, you know, like melancholy, road not taken, all that shit. So I was like, whoa, that's cool. And it was done in a really cool way. And for that moment, I did suspend my disbelief because it was well done and was a thing that I love.
Which, by the way, again, just reiterates how difficult of a task that is.
Yeah, that's true.
To be able to do that with a song, normally, let's say 90% of the time that you've witnessed it, it sounds like, you're like, I'm out. I'm not doing this. So the fact that they can pull it off means this medium, something about musicals, is like an elite form of art. It's like, it's really tough to accomplish.
And it's really hard to get into. And I think that's going to push me into my third and final argument for me. Hopefully Ethan has something better too, but
make it up,
which is basically that what you experienced, Blay, when you watched the end of that movie, or, you know, so here's my example. Last night, you and I were at the final Conan taping, final late night of Conan taping. Yes. And in the middle of it, Jack Black broke into song. He sang a song. And when he did that, it created like a new energy. It would have been lame if he just like said some funny sentimental things to Conan. But instead, he brought this energy, and there is a different type of energy and feeling, especially live, but even when you're at a movie theater, that comes along with musical sentiment, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
And if you do it right, it's even more meaningful than like the score.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
Why?
Whoa. That's a song, not a musical. A musical by its nature is many of those strung together to tell a story. It's, you're not just singing a song. Yeah, man, I love songs. And I love songs that evoke emotion. Of course, we all do. But
yeah, but when done right, you put them all together and that's a musical.
Yeah, if you had like five songs before that in a 2-hour span, then that's a musical.
No, that's a concert. You have to tell a story for it to be a musical. No, I'm serious. Like, that's why in the beginning I asked what a musical was, but because you need to tell a story,
okay.
And that's where it falters. But go ahead.
No, hit it.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that I understand your point, and I think the point is like what's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
I think. And I think I see where you're going with what you're saying, which is like, you know, it is possible to have a story in a musical format, but just most people can't do it right.
Yeah.
Is that kind of where you're going?
Yeah. I mean, totally. It's tough enough to make anything good.
Yeah.
In general, it's tough enough to make a good movie. It's tough enough to make a movie. It's tough enough to make a concert. It's tough enough to make a play and have people leave and go, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I think.
And I think that's why so many musicals falter, because to your point, it's so hard to write a song. So the fact that you're going to try to put eight into 2 hours is so hard and usually doesn't work. But
string them together
and overcome the cheese, because normally you're climbing the mountain. This mountain's covered in wet cheese.
Yeah.
So now you have to craft your cleats, which are unnecessary normally. And these cleats have to help you climb. And, you know, so
need cheese cleats. You got to have some cheese cleats, emotional cheese cleats.
Nobody wants to take the time to make cheese cleats, but you have to climb this mountain.
All right. Cool. So this is we're going to take a break. Blay's going to think it over. When we come back, we'll make his decision. We'll be right back.
And we're back. So RJ and Ethan Edinburgh are trying to convince me to
successfully
go see a musical, to like musicals. And of course, Ethan, you know, he's got a great band, The Cooties, that amazing podcast, The Good, The Bad, and The Science. So, you know, he's a heavy hitter. And you guys have really been peppering me.
Big hitter.
And yourselves, frankly, with bullets, with arguments.
Shoot, that's our style.
It's kind of a circular firing squad, but it's, I guess you're getting there. So, RJ, reiterate, what are your three reasons why you think musicals are dope?
The general three reasons, and I'm going to let Ethan bring us home, is
closing arguments.
One is it's just a fun escape from the normal general thing that you're used to seeing. Let's change it up a little bit and sing a song. My second one is...
Blay was actively Blay was actively thumbs downing during
that. This is how all of our arguments go. The second one is it, which I think is the strongest argument, is it inspires and challenges your creativity to make it good. It's like a crazy puzzle. And I know you love puzzles. So, you know, good luck with that.
It's a crazy puzzle.
And then the third one
literally
is...
literally applied to anything in the world.
The third one is the energy that you feel when it's done right. Like the end of that movie, like when Jack Black sings a song. When it's done right, it brings an energy that is new that nothing else can do. And I also want to reiterate the Fast and Furious thing. If we go to that, I think you would have a great time.
Once again, you are lobbying me to not go to Ethan's concert tonight.
bastard.
Ethan, bring us home. Ethan, please.
All I'm going to say is The Jungle Book, Coco, Moana, Lion King, freaking Grease.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking so good and great songs. Nightmare Before Christmas. Look, I just feel like you love songs. You love movies. This is just those things combined. And it's because you're mixing stuff, it makes it harder. If you're going to make a sci-fi horror, that's tough. You know, Alien could have been done poorly by a lot of people. And instead, it's fucking Alien.
Right. And that, musical.
And listen, and if you made it a musical, as an example, just as this example, a sci-fi horror musical, that's even tougher. That's an even more like so legit recipe for disaster. But if somehow they made Alien musical and it worked and it was that good, it'd be like unbelievable. It'd be a huge, you know.
They'd go down in history.
Yeah. So with that, all I'm saying is the same way, and I haven't touched on this before, but I'm going to throw it in. Improv is another one. Improv, very, very difficult to do correctly. Yeah. Most of the time you go see it, you got to go in with a certain amount of fear. It might not go well, but when it does go well, everyone on stage is a genius.
Magical.
And you can rely on them for anything because they are the wizards of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I usually ask them to like pick out things for me after that.
Yes. So with that, if you don't want to, if you have zero interest in seeing a musical that other people say is good or helping RJ and I make this brand new hit musical about space dinosaurs, you a GD fool, my friend. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, here's the thing. And I think that, I mean, look, I'm doing your jobs for you on this one. I'm just going to put it out.
That's fine. As long as we win.
Yeah. I think... RJ, what was your first argument?
It's like nothing else.
It's like nothing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
No, it's a great argument.
No, it's a terrible argument. Worst. bad argument. But I think Ethan kind of, look, I was hardcore against this.
Yeah, I know.
Until the La La Land thing. And I think this is where I'm going to net out on it, okay? I think, and this is going to be kind of a long driveway to the house. So follow me on this.
As long as we get there, baby.
I'm anxious. Okay.
So, Ethan, you're a musician.
Play. Yes.
I think that, you know, the symphonies of the world were many times written on piano. And I think piano is an instrument which anything can be written on. Any kind of music you could write on a piano.
Sure.
And instruments get more and more specific kind of as they go on. And as they go on, it becomes like the things you can create, the kinds of songs you can create on different instruments get more and more narrow. You're not going to be able to compose Mozart on a sitar, for instance. That's a very specific instrument. Mm-hmm. And certain instruments are very general. You know, the guitar, I would say, is more towards the piano, but not, you know, not exactly. You know, you could write some really great songs on guitar that can translate onto all sorts of other things, but you're not going to be able to, you know, it's going to be very hard to write. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to art, the keyboard, typing, writing, prose is the piano of that. You know, it's like you can, with a movie, tell a certain thing, but it's going to have to be more specific than what you could do in a book. In a book, it takes, there's no budget. I mean, or there's an unlimited budget. There are no restraints.
Whatever you can imagine.
Write and whatever you can imagine, like the limit is only your talent to make someone imagine the story you want to tell and the way you want to tell it. And so I think when we come to musicals, and this is where my head was at when you said the thing about La La Land, because at the end of La La Land, again, there's this great moment that's a musical moment where they are going, what would our lives be if I had gone to that play? If Ryan Gosling had done this and not said these words and she had gone, you know, all these things. And it's this really powerful, RJ, to your point, really powerful emotional moment because it is musical and because it is the sum of everything that's happened up to that point. I think the deal is with musicals is... I think that it is a very, it's a sitar. The musical is a sitar. It's a very specific instrument that I think is used, misused all too often. I don't think there should be a sci-fi horror. I think what people do, what they think is how, Ethan, what you were saying, like, hey, yeah, and you can make Alien into a musical. And you know what? It might be great. No, it's never going to be great. That will never be a great musical.
Tough, yeah.
Because that's not the kind of story that should be told. That's not the kind of song that should be written on that instrument.
Yeah, not like, a lot of romance up there.
Not a lot, right, yeah, exactly. A lot of fucking though, really. But no, but you know what I'm saying? So I think like my answer is yes, I will go to a musical.
Oh my God.
You convinced me.
Bam,
but
wow, got him.
It has to be specific.
Right.
Because I think there's only a very specific kind of story that can and should be told in the musical format. And too often it, like hummus, is just layered on top of everything.
Yeah. Well,
oh, this is great. Let's make Spider-Man the musical. Let's fucking not make Spider-Man the musical. You know,
well,
like
what's cool is when you were talking, it made me think of, you know how songs, a great song can give you chills, just like a great story can give you chills.
Yes.
And when they're matched, it's like one of the few things that can give you double chills. But it's just so rare that that happens. You know, it's really hard.
If it's right. And I think that really, and thinking back, I think in many ways, the music part of it, I think, needs to be instrumental to how it's built up. It's got to be the foundation. It can't be the lights you're hanging in the living room. It needs to be under the floorboards, the concrete base, because it's got to be integral to the whole thing. Like this bullshit where it's like Legally Blonde, the musical, Mean Girls, the musical. Like, no, let's not do that.
Okay, so. You
know? Whereas, like, maybe Jersey Boys.
It's great.
Okay, maybe, but yeah, maybe
makes
not.
Makes more sense.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, you know, who knows? So, but I think as long as the musical is specific and is a musical versus one of those things.
So, first of all, I totally accept. That you forfeit and that we won, and that's awesome.
You guys won.
I totally love that. And then I also, on top of that, want to say that it's basically unfair to say you're pro or anti musicals. Now I'm realizing that that's actually silly in and of itself because they're genre-lized. Because the same way you can't say I don't like music. You're gonna like country, or you're gonna like
you'll find something for you.
And
yeah.
musicals like you may not like Grease, but you that's might true. Dig Book of Mormon.
Right.
Or Avenue Q, right.
You know, so I think in essence, and again, I'm glad that it's already over. We already won. We did the work, the grunt work. You know, we were there front line. But
wow, really hammering that home.
But slam dunk, three-pointer swish, buzzer beater for sure. But
I'm excited to go see Fast Furious 9 tonight and not your car.
Honestly, don't. It's too expensive tonight anyway. But literally, like, tomorrow is a real fun show you guys can come to for free. You're probably busy. But so
I'm
think
Fast 9 again.
I miss stuff. There's Easter eggs, brother. So I think there's just something for everybody. That's all I was saying. Yeah. It's like there's probably a musical that you'll dig regardless how you feel about it.
Amazing.
That's a great point. So I will be donating to the charity today. And well done, RJ. Ethan, thank you again for coming.
No, this pleasure is, to be here.
Couldn't have done it without you.
I love you guys, and thank you for your service on Conan. I know it's been a whole journey with that. We could do a whole podcast just about that. Honestly, I have a million questions for you guys, but let me ask them to you in person while we have beer and start to outline this musical, which I've already started. I know what key it's going to be in, so I'm already jacked about that.
Most of this podcast was just Ethan writing notes.
But hummus.
Yeah.
What's that?
I was just saying, most of this podcast is just Ethan writing notes. He's just ready.
Yeah.
Les Miserables, but hummus. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Thank you again to Ethan Edinburgh for joining us. Remember to follow at the Cooties on Instagram and listen to the good, the bad, and the science wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, you can tune in to new episodes of Hear Me Out every Wednesday. Please rate and review and tell your pals. If there's something you want us to debate, send us a little email at hearmeout@gmail.com. That's Hear Me Out twice. Hear me out at gmail.com two times. Thank you to Brett Kushner for producing the podcast, Strange Hotels for the theme song, and we'll see y'all next week. Fast and Furious 9, baby, here we come.
I want to come too. And thanks for having me and cut out everything that I said. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.